KMBR 680. I like this guy. This is a lot of fun to talk baseball with Dave Righetti. I really do. Sunday's a very special day for me, and I always acknowledge the Hall of Fame, and I know you respect it and everything that goes with it. Some very special pitchers going in, and you even had one of them here. I'd love to get your take on Pedro, John Smoltz, Randy Johnson. Then we'll talk about a hitter who had a very big arm guard, like Craig Biggio.
Yeah, he did, the little rat. I knew about Biggio because he was Seton Hall guy, and when in New York, he might have been around. Him and Mo Vaughn might have been there around the same time.
Okay.
Jason Grilley's dad, Steve, pitched for Syracuse and Toronto, so we saw him a lot, and he was Seton Hall guy along with Rick Cerrone, our catcher with the Yankees. So, you know, as soon as Biggio made the big leagues, you know, Cerrone's walking around telling everybody, "Hey, the Hall, we got another guy." Well, this guy's going to the big Hall. And what a career. I mean, you know, the games change, obviously, for a lot of different reasons, but to get a real utility guy, Molitor was probably the first utility guy to go in, or even B. Rose, who played everywhere, right? Molitor played all over the field, ended up DHing, and Biggio caught, for crying out loud, and played second and could play anywhere on the field, of course, probably pitch. And, yeah, to do what he did over 20-year span, these guys should be recognized like that, and I'm glad it was somebody like Craig.
Yeah, he's going in. He was a catcher. And Dwayne Kuiper, of course, had the great lines. He said he made me look bad because he went to second base. He made it look easy after being a catcher. Then Krug says, oh, wait a minute. He had a guard on his elbow. It looked like something when you train German shepherds. They would put it on his elbow.
Yeah, they had those. Yeah. Unfortunately, the game was heading that way at that point. There was a lot of guys with those things. And not only did he have it, then he'd finesse his way into the ball, too, which didn't sit well with a lot of guys. And I'm sure there's a lot of pitchers that he frustrated because now you leave a ball over the middle, and he had that small, tight swing, and he'd get and kill you. But, yeah, he got hit quite a bit. I imagine it was over 10 to 20 times a year, probably. So he's up there, probably not close to Don Baylor, who didn't wear anything. I know Ron Hunt did, but... yeah, you know what? You got to have a lot of guts to do it because guys are going to get on you, and you got to be able to handle all that and get on base and win for your team, and that's what he did.
All right, Dave Righetti with us. Let's talk about the pitchers because I watch Pedro Martinez, and what a tough son of a gun he is. And then you had Randy Johnson, my goodness, and a left-hander, and then Smoltz, who went to the bullpen, who was a starter. Cerebral, very smart.
Pedro first, youngest. Is he the youngest?
Yeah.
He came up with the Dodgers. He was pitching middle relief, and this guy, every third pitch, Kevin Mitchell, Matty Williams, didn't matter, our right-handers, he was knocking, moving guys.
Yes.
And he said he always did it on purpose. At that time, he still had that arm action from low three quarters, and that ball running, it was a lot like a Heston with 95. And he had no problem doing it and then making a great pitch on the next pitch, and guys wanted to kill him. But I remember him coming in relief in a game at Candlestick. It was a day game, and he'd already pitched once in the series, I think. And I said, holy cow. You know, and he went out there, and, I mean, we must have knocked their starter out early. And he stayed out there for quite a while. I said, boy, they got some. He's a younger brother of the guy who was the star on the team, and Ramon. And maybe that winter? Was it that winter they traded him for the Shields? They had a lot of trouble in the infield. I don't know if you remember their infield at that point. Offerman was the young shortstop. I think they had trouble finding guys to mesh at, you know, second and short. And I guess they felt like they had a shot at getting a guy like the Shields. And I guess it would take a Pedro to get that. Holy cow, is right. And not only that, he left the Expos too. But I'm sure there was some free agent stuff involved in that. But most talented, one of the most talented guys that's ever walked on a mound, period. Because he had touch, he had power, and he had a lot of guts. And what I mean by guts, he could pitch. There's a lot of guys that pitch with emotion, then can't make the next pitch to get a guy out or to move people around and have batter stand. Okay, I got you now. You want to do that? Now still make a good pitch and get people out over and over again. And when he was on, he dominates you, of course. But in his career, you know, just the way it evolved and the excitement he brought to the not only the All-Star games, the playoff games. He was a joy. I watched when he pitched, to be quite frank. If he was pitching, I'd watch the games just to see him. And there's not a whole lot of guys that, like I said, ever walked up there with his abilities his athletic ability on the mound, and Dave Steeb came to mind kind of style. But so hats off to Pedro.
Yeah, what a great moment for the Hall of Fame. As Dave Righetti tells us, you do it beautifully explaining who these pitchers are. Now, you had Randy Johnson. You're a lefty, and you were pretty darn good. When this guy got the ball on the mound, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I saw him when he first started, when he came to Seattle. A lot of talk about him, and there was a Scotty Holman. I think there was Langston was on that staff. You know, they had some young, great arms, and Matt Young, I think. Next thing you know, he gets traded. Excuse me, he got traded for Langston, didn't he? In that trade to get him over, excuse me. So it was a three-guy deal, and he was skinny and long-armed. And I know Sammy Ellis, our pitching coach with the Yankees, was now over there with him in Seattle, and I said, boy, he's got a good guy to be with. Because Sammy's great with guys and handling demeanors and big on mechanics at that time, which a lot of guys weren't. And, boy, he took off. He was scary. I mean, he's the epitome. To be that tall, we talked about Pedro, about his athletic. To be that tall and be able to do your delivery over and over again, that's the athleticism within a pitcher. And to be able to maintain that without blowing his back out and his knees and everything else, to do what he did, again, that's why there's certain echelons of the levels of the Hall of Fame. To me, he's at the top with some of those guys that, you know, are mythical figures. And Matthew and Randy's one of those guys. And we got lucky. We got him at the end of his career when he really was hungry for, obviously, 300. But he was in the mode where he understood Lincecum and Kane and Sanchez were here and the type of staff we had. And I thought he was awesome. And I thought he was a big reason why 09 we really matured as a staff. And we turned it on in 10. And I think Randy had a lot to do with that. I really do. And I enjoyed every minute of it. It was easy for me at that point, but trying to help him get through each start was different because of his health, but he was a pleasure, and we're all proud of him. We know he probably has to go in with a different hat on, but it's pretty cool to see that Randy finished up with us.
Yeah, you did a great job with him, and I have a feeling he's going to mention you in the speech when it comes to Sunday. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Smoltz. And you saw a lot of him with the Braves, obviously the big trio, and they all go in.
Yeah, the first recollection was we had Doyle Alexander with the Yankees, and good guy. He broke his hand hitting a dugout wall in Seattle. George got mad at him. Next thing you know, he's traded, and he turns around and just beats our brains in the next few years with Toronto and Detroit, and then obviously got traded for Smoltz. And it's probably a one-on-one deal at that point. Maybe, was it? Power. He looked like Jack Morris, who he ends up really going against. Him and Petrie, Smoltz, power slider, fastball, getting after it, carrying the ball. And Smoltz, he later on came up with the split. And I said, wow, this is a good young pitcher. You know, Schilling kind of was in that age and came up with Baltimore at that time. There was Storm Davis a little bit, but he was more over the top. So you're thinking the guys pop into your head. And but Smoltz from the beginning looked like one. I said, wow. And then I come with the Giants. They're still in our division in the early 90s, and all three of those guys were Maddox, of course, and Avery ended up joining them. I'm going, oh, my God, we're going to have a hell of a time beating these guys. And, of course, that was true. And then what he did when he went to the bullpen, when he picked up that split big time and still throwing hard, I fixed his arm. And I know he had a little arm stuff maybe when he was younger, too. And you see those guys compete, and what they did, they raised the bar for everybody. There was because of those guys, and I know Maddox and Tommy had a little bit more to do with the strike zone and the umpire calling games, but they all carried when they walked out there, with their head up and their chest out. They knew how good they were, and they were going to beat you with their arms, and they did that for, gosh, 15 years there in one place, Smoltz. And but again, I really appreciate it. I was really happy to see him go in because he was another guy that not only started but went to the bullpen like Eck. And now, unfortunately, it really creates a problem. There's not a whole lot of guys have ever done that at that level, and there never will. So I don't know if that'll affect closers getting in the future or not. But a versatile guy like that, I'm glad he's I'm glad he got picked the way he did so early. And, you know, and yeah, it's awesome. It's a hell of a class. My God. Yeah, it's definitely a Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, that's what I love about Dave Righetti with us. This is a real Hall of Fame class. Now you could argue the people here and there, not these guys. This is good. Leo Mazzoni had their pictures in his locker. He said, as long as I got Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz, I don't care what they do, I'm okay.
I could hear Leo saying that. He had a lot to do with that, too. He should be so proud to see all those guys, you know, go in and all the great staffs he had. And, you know, they were the hallmark, obviously the cornerstones. But, yeah, I'm happy for Leo, too.
All right, Dave, very quickly, how's your team doing? How's your staff doing? As just in a general sense, I know, you know, we got a long way to go. But how do you like the starters, relievers right now?
I'm happy where we're at, to be honest. I knew it was going to be a little bit tougher this year, getting deep into games with our starters so we could take some pressure off the bullpen. And we didn't want to turn it into, you know, when it was Jimmy Brower and Aaron, those guys all pitching 80 games down there, but we're close to doing that right now. We recognize that. We understand that. We need the starters to collectively get a little deeper in these games, another inning more. It doesn't have to be complete games, but just a little bit more is all we need from each guy, and a little bit more consistent so we can win at home. If we win at home, it just seems that we're going to play well on the road and hit well. So it's pretty obvious after this point of time that there's, you know, a little trend going. So, you know, we want to break that trend here at home and just really get consistent in this second half and see what we can do. And I think we feel great about our chances.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I love it. All right. A's, Giants, you still get a little bit of a thrill out of this?
Yeah, always. It's great that both teams have pretty much kept their colors and the way they look and everything. And I think it's awesome, and I enjoy it. I don't enjoy not playing teams. I like seeing more and more so you get the real feel of the hitters. But yeah, this is good for the game. And ours is a hell of a rivalry, and I'm sure Chicago and New York, it's got their special one. There's not that many real automatic rivalries in this interleague thing, but this is one of them, and it's always good. And yeah, I think there's nothing but good comes out of it.
You know, you're very good at this. You ought to be on TV.
No, thank you. I'll let you do it. You're much better at it than me, and I appreciate it. But anytime, bud.
Right. That's Dave Righetti. One of my pleasures, really, to have you on, Dave. Thanks so much, and more coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.